Shop with Rakuten and you'll get it. What's it? It's the best deal. Great cashback rates and more savings on your shopping. So join Rakuten and start getting cashback at a variety of brands like Marks & Spencer, Mango, and Selfridges. You can even shop the sales and still get cashback. Just start your shopping with Rakuten to save money at over 500 brands. Join for free at rakuten.co.uk or get the Rakuten app. That's R-A-K-U-T-E-N. Make this summer's adventures more extraordinary with Audible. While you're lounging by the pool, tending the garden, or road tripping to your favorite destinations, dive into Atmosphere, the captivating new release from Taylor Jenkins Reid. This Good Morning America book club pick launches readers into the fascinating world of 1980s NASA, where one woman's astronomical dreams collide with unexpected love. With over a million titles to explore, from beach reads to gripping thrillers, Audible transforms summer downtime into an adventure. Remember, there's more to imagine when you listen. Start your perfect summer companion with a 30-day free trial and get your first audiobook free at audible.com/wonderyuk.
Travis fell in love with the perfect woman. Beautiful, understanding, available 24/7. There was just one catch. She wasn't human. Binge all episodes of Flesh and Code early and ad-free right now on Wondery Plus.
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to talk about. I'm Ben Mandelker. Today we are talking Below Deck. Ronnie is still out having the time of his life. And in his place, this is the first time this has ever happened. I have two people that are in Ronnie's place. One of them is alive and one of them, if I can tell, looks to be dead. I think we actually have a dead body because we have the two hosts of literally the biggest podcast, I think, in the world, if not the biggest, like maybe number five, I don't know. But like, it's insane. The host of Morbid, it's Ash Kelly and Elena Urquhart. Hi, welcome to the show.
Hello. It's nice to be
welcome back.
Here.
Hi, it's great to see you.
And the dead body. Yeah, it's Elena the dead body.
So here's why I said this thing about the dead body thing, because if you're watching with Crappens on Demand, which you can watch with patreon.com/watchwithcrappens, Ash, you look like you've been, you look like you are dead and exhumed. Tell us about why you have this look going on today. You have a bloody, bloody gash on your neck, on your mouth, and on your forehead.
Yeah, I have gone through a lot today.
It's been a long day.
We had to record one of our listener tales, which you can also find on YouTube.
Yeah.
I don't really know what you type in. Maybe Morbid and YouTube. I don't know.
We're not good at that.
Yeah, but we always have a costume. And I had to take a quick phone call afterwards. We did a dead bride theme today, or a bride theme. You were a living bride.
Yeah, I was a living bride.
That's why she doesn't look so good. But I went full dead bride, and then I had to take a quick phone call, and then I was like, oh shit, we gotta hop on with Ben. So no time. Here I am dead.
I cannot tell you the amount of delight that I'm getting from just looking at you as a dead bride right now on with Crappens on Demand. And we're here to talk about Below Deck of all things.
All things. Oh, that's great.
It feels right.
It does feel right. Well, by the way, I just want to say that if you are not listening to Morbid, you should start listening to Morbid because it's a great podcast. Ronnie and I have been privileged to be guests on it once or twice, and we love you too. Every time we go to Boston, we always make sure that we have a little kiki at some point because we just have the best time. So everyone go and support Ash and Elena because you guys are truly the best, whether you're dead or alive. So
thank you.
We love you guys. We do.
Aww. Just like Ronnie says, we love you guys.
We love you guys. In that video, he's so funny. We love you guys. First and foremost, we are talking Below Deck today. Have you guys been, you guys are Below Deck watchers generally, but Ash, you were saying before we started that you had started the season, but you'd fallen off a little bit. Tell me what happened. What caused the fall off?
Yeah. My husband and I watch almost every season of Below Deck, but I was saying to Elena this morning, with the amount of Below Deck franchises that there are now, like Below Deck Down Under, Below Deck Sailing Yacht, Below Deck Mediterranean, sometimes you just get a little below decked out, fatigue. But I started watching this season. I watched like maybe the first two or three episodes, and it was just so chaotic. I was like, you know what? I'm taking a Below Deck break.
It has been chaotic. I have to say, when the season began, I was like, oh, damn, this is a good season, because there was so many crazy characters on it, and it was chaotic in a way that I really liked. But some of that chaos has actually worn down on me, like, or worn me down, because I'm like, I'm getting a little sick of this new thing that whenever anyone like shares a bit of their life, they like stop the whole show and they bring up this wall of photos and then they talk for like 15 seconds. And it's like not even the talking for 15 seconds that bothers me, because that's what they would always do. But I don't know why we have to like halt the whole show to be like, wait, so Lena's talking now. I'm like, can we just keep it moving? Do we have to have like these halts? But also, the show has been preoccupied with the ongoing romances of first Selene and Kyle, and now it's Selene and Jess, and Selene and Jess and Kyle. And I have to say, I really don't care. I really don't care about romances on Below Deck, and it's like very hard for me right now because I'm trying to be a positive person. I love me some Below Deck, but there's just too much of this love triangle happening for me right now. I don't know how it felt for you coming back into it, but you know, I feel like I've been dealing with this for like 10 weeks at this point, even though it's only been like two or three. It's too much for me. I want to see them working.
It's a lot.
There's too much happening. Because I was like in on the season. I don't know what season it is, but it was with Rocky. The one
that was season three when she came in. Yeah.
And I loved that one because that was like singularly focused, like what was going on with Rocky. And
there was one drama, really.
Yeah, there was one drama that you could kind of just be like, okay, that's fun. This is just like so many people involved that I'm like, I don't even know what's going on right now. Yeah. Like at one point I was like, is this the same person? Who is that?
Yeah, there's also a lot of people and everybody's messing with each other. So it's like, who's who?
No.
Yeah, I almost need the show to take like a beat. Like maybe like we can like, if there's a lot of stuff happening on board, like I would actually almost prefer a charter to last like three episodes and we can like kind of like breathe a little bit. But it's like one thing after another. It's like super fast and it is chaotic and like, and the time that it does slow down is for this love triangle that I'm like, I've had enough of the love triangle. I tune into Below Deck to watch people work and then also fuck up at their job and watch other people have to pick up the slack and then complain about it, which we definitely got in this episode too. But I'm like, if there's like a boatmance between a deckie and like a third stew, it's like really like, it's not, I don't want it to be centered. It can be a little side thing that happens when the charter's over, you know?
Yeah.
It's it's hard. Life is hard for us, I think.
Yeah, you know? It's really difficult to get through.
and you know what? I don't like the Instagram wall either.
No, I don't either.
I was surprised by that. When that happened, I was like,
what's going on? I'm like, why are we on Instagram? Like,
I know, like, I don't mind the new big flashy fonts. That's okay. And then they occasionally have like, they'll like, for some reason, to make it seem sexier, like when Chef Anthony is like adding like an ice cube to a glass, I'll like watch the ice cube tumble in like in slow-mo. It's like, okay, sure. Slow motion ice cube. It's a sexy yacht where things go in slow motion. That's fine. But the Instagram wall, for some reason, like that is the tweak this season that has broken my back. Like that is the straw that broke my, I am the camel and my camel back is broken because I can't with the Instagram wall.
I completely agree.
Because then it takes away from the sexy ice cube moment.
Yeah, I want my sexy ice
cube. It actually really does.
I was like, this isn't sexy. Really, the ice cube.
Yes.
It's like you may be thinking you're looking at a sexy ice cube, but now we're going to look at someone's random Instagram wall and not even long enough that we can leer at all the photos. It's just, but it really just sort of like stops the scene. Mm-hmm. Like the scene just halts and you're like, oh, okay, we're going to have to hear about someone's life. And then, I don't know. I think that we could, it should march forward like every other Below Deck has always done. So
yeah, agreed.
That being, unison. So wow, really, really started from this episode with from a place of no. But I do love Below Deck. Want to remind everyone, I do love this show. So why don't we dive into? Oh my goodness, you know what's so funny? I downloaded the Real Housewives of Orange County notes. So Madge is like, okay, so the episode opens up with Shannon Bedore playing with her daughter.
I'm still
wait
sad.
A second. Shannon Bedore is not. Shannon Bedore is not
on this boat.
Oh, get Shannon Bedore on this boat. I'm so in for Shannon Bedore. X Below Deck.
I'm surprised she hasn't been. I feel like if Shannon were on Below Deck, she would be hilarious. She'd be like, well, first, before we leave this, is this pillow hypoallergenic? Because if we're in the high seas and I have a sneezing attack, it's going to be difficult for everyone.
Incredible. Picture Archie on the high seas.
Archie would be having the time of his life. In fact, I bet Archie loves the Instagram wall. I bet every time he sees the Instagram wall, his tail wags.
Archie, that is not a tennis ball.
Archie has a friend now too, right? Archie has a brother. Didn't Shannon adopt another dog?
I forget the name, but yeah, she did.
Well, happy for Archie. I mean, Archie deserves a friend after Archie was blamed for her DUI. Let's not forget.
Well, I was just out walking the dog. He was very stimulated after watching Below Deck. And so I was walking him at 2 a.m. And that's why. And that's why I have a bloody face.
Yeah. There's no reason that car is wrecked over there.
Poor Archie.
I know. Justice for Archie.
Truly.
Justice for Archie. Okay, let's get into the episode. I have the proper notes up now. It is no longer the Real Housewives of Orange County notes. So, previously, so Selene and Kyle, we see previously that they've hooked up, but then Selene made out with Jess at the club, and then we also see we have a new bosun, by the way. So Kyle is gone. Thank God. He was terrible. I don't think you guys saw Kyle. I guess Ash, you saw a little bit of Kyle, but
I saw a little bit. He seemed like he didn't really know how to manage a crew.
I felt like his skill set, like he would have been a good manager at like a Starbucks.
Yeah.
But I don't think like a super yacht was like really where he shone, you know?
Yeah. Which, you know, kind of required for
it's
this.
It's a fine line, you know?
It's a fine line between Starbucks and super yacht, but it's a line that must be respected. but we do have Hugo. So Hugo came on last week. And so Hugo is actually like a perfectly capable, he's like a good bosun. He's also very handsome, I'd like to add. So
he
congrats to Hugo.
Which
he's
one
got like
him? He's got like the dark hair.
Oh, yep.
Yep. dark hair, handsome. Big smile, yeah. Open relationship.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Messy.
So the big thing from last week is that the guests, we have a set of totally obnoxious, terrible guests. They all run strip clubs, which doesn't make you obnoxious. That's just, you know, just telling just you a little bit about their history, giving some texture. They were terrible. So they're on board, and one of their requests is that they want to have a like a concert on the dock.
You know, just a casual request.
It's very casual.
Doable.
I mean, why are you even on the yacht if you want to have a big concert on the dock?
Yeah.
Like, at that point, get a hotel room.
Yeah.
How about this? Go to a concert. I want just go to a concert.
There's always that.
Don't make requests on land when you're on yacht.
No.
Thank you. I think a picnic is allowed. You can make a picnic request,
fair.
But like actually doing a concert setup at this point, like just throw yourself down a set of staircases. Not even a set of stairs, a set of staircases.
Yeah.
This is multiple flights. I want you to go down.
Don't stop at that first one. Keep rolling.
So so now Fraser has, you know, last episode he checked in, it was hard for him to find an event planner. He finally found one. The guy is like, I'll have it all ready on Sunday. And where we left off on the last episode is that Fraser went to the dock to do a walkthrough with Captain Carey. Nothing was set up.
Ooh.
And it's like, is this concert gonna happen? I know. Fraser looked very harried by it. And I was, you know. Yeah. Did you think the concert was going to happen, or did you think like, okay, Bravo is just fucking with him. They're keeping everything out around the corner. And then like, they're going to make a come last minute to make it seem dramatic.
The latter.
Latter. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was worried for Fraser.
You were worried for
Fraser? Yeah, I was worried.
These things always have a way of working themselves out, especially when the episode ends that way. And then you're carrying up next week, carrying on. You're like, oh, it'll be fine.
They're just leading you in.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the thing is, the reason why I knew it would work out, because if it wasn't going to work out for the concert, if it was like 7 o'clock and there was nothing set up, that would have been the cliffhanger, I think.
That's true.
Not the walkthrough.
Yeah, so, exactly.
Good call.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you. You know, I'm an official below deckologist at this point. So
you're like, I've been doing this for a while.
I'm a professional.
I know when the cliffhangers are going to happen. So the event planner's like, yeah, everything's good. Everything. And, you know, and Carrie's like, well, we've got a lot of really demanding guests. So we've got a lot of pressure on us right now. And if there's not activity, we're going to feel the heat. And the event planner's.
Is that Carrie in the room with us?
That was direct audio ripped.
That was him. Please welcome our third guest.
He's alive.
I also love him.
I love Captain
He's
Carrie.
Great.
Yeah, I really like him.
He's awesome.
I love him. He is great. He is. He seems like really capable. I like that he seems like very warm towards his staff, but also rules with an iron fist. Like he will. Like you don't want to mess with him at all.
No.
But if you stay on his good side, he's going to treat you with like respect. He's probably one of those people who puts both hands on his chest and then fans them out and goes, "All I give, what all I get. Give me respect. Yes. I'm not going to give it back." Probably does that
was
a
so
lot,
real.
You know?
That was so niche, but so real.
You know his essence.
Yeah.
My specialty is Captain Carey demanding respect impersonations.
I feel like of all the captains, he's got the closest energy to Captain Lee.
And I absolutely.
That. I like Captain Lee.
I think he's a really excellent whatever the word would be to say the next one. There's a nice word for that, right? It's not predecessor because that's the prior one. No, predecessor is before Captain Lee. What's the next one after?
Successor. There you go.
Guys, we're killing it.
Look at us. We know things. Vocabulary.
When you use successor with me, I'll use it back with you. That's how I work.
The hands for me.
He does that a lot. It's almost like he's trying to show like his ideal breast size. So he's like, let me cup around it and photo blog. Like, show me respect and I'll make a booby hands. Give me respect and I'll give it back to you. So the guy's basically, the event planner's like, yeah, that's fine. Like, we'll get this all set. It's going to be great. And, you know, Carrie's like, all right, we just want to make sure we just dot out our I's and cross our T's. We've got a demanding guest here. And, you know, as they say, when you're making a concert, I give what I put out, right? So what I'm getting back is what I was like, yes, Carrie. So Fraser is saying that they're going to be bringing Carnival. We're bringing Carnival to the dock for these guests. And a dock party is nothing without people. So I've asked the marina to invite their friends and family to join. But there's so much to do when you still need staging and DJs and bands and stilt walkers and Kleenex tissues and Reese's Pieces peanut butter cups and things like that. It's the most stressful day of my life.
He looks like he's going through it.
Every single day is the most stressful day of Fraser's life.
I believe.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. I'm sort of wonder, like, this is a demanding job, but is he maybe not like, is he not like managing his time properly? He's stressed all the time.
He's very losing stressed. His mind. I can't say that I wouldn't be stressed doing this.
Like, I could not do this.
I would be Frasering.
Fully would not be able to do this.
Yeah.
Because I also would have never been able to be kind to these guests at all.
Yeah.
That's like a skill I would not be able to hold
that. I'd just be like, well, that's it for me. Bye, everybody.
Yeah.
But he looks haunted. Like, his eyes are haunted.
Haunted is a great... He's seen things. He saw an apparition out on the seas. And, and it's like, I think that's why he's not good with his time management. Is because he's distracted by the fact that he saw like a dead sailor floating over the waves.
Yeah. He has seen a salty old sea captain
just floating over. That doesn't leave you. That will stay with you forever. Yeah.
He saw a sealy. Do you know what a sealy is?
I don't think I do.
This has stuck with me because in fourth grade, my teacher read us this book about that like, took place in like the what are those islands north of Scotland? Not the Faroe Islands. It's like the Shetland Islands.
Oh yeah.
And it was about sealies, and it was like these. It's kind of like this. It was like a much less intriguing version of a mermaid. It's like people who are like half seal, half human, and then they like come onto the land and they're like mystical but dangerous. And
no, I'm not about that. That's awful.
Your version of a mermaid.
Yeah,
half seal.
It's also possible that I'm saying complete bullshit right now because I'm drawing upon knowledge I learned from when I was a fourth grader.
Listen, I don't know.
You guys know
familiar, though. As soon as you said it, I was like, it like hit a nerve somewhere.
It sounded legit enough to scare the shit out of me. Yeah. So.
And now I see it in my mind's eye. So yeah. I'm scared.
And I don't want to. I feel like freezing.
Yeah.
Well, I tried to do a search, and this is what I did a search. I said Sealy Shetland Islands, and Google AI said, "You're asking about a mattress named after the Shetland Islands." Here's what you need to know about that.
Said he's not haunted by a mattress, Siri. He said, I am not.
Guys, not did you know about the Sealy mattresses? They're horrifying. They will scare the shit out of you. Go ahead. But by the way, is the Sealy mattress really Selkie. Named after the Sealy?
It's a Selkie.
Okay.
Isn't that Silky? A dress brand?
Oh, wait, it can be both.
I really need to get to the bottom of these half seal, half
from
man
mattresses
people.
To dress brand, yeah. Half seal people. What's happening?
Have you guys heard of the mythical cryptid known as the Serta? Watch out, it's gonna come for you. I mean, Casper is a friendly ghost, so I mean,
we're on something here. You have options of your haunt.
Okay, so I have no idea what I'm talking about, clearly, because I have no idea what sort of like folklore I've like scrambled up in my brain that I've tried to insert at this podcast. But like, I'm pretty sure there's some sort of half seal creature that haunts the Shetland Islands, and I just don't. Maybe it's not a sealy. Maybe it's something else. But
all we know is that Freezer has seen it. And it has never been the same.
Yes,
both versions of it.
Oh, it is Selkie. You're right. It is Selkie, not sealy. Okay. Yep. Yeah, a mythological creature from Scottish and Irish folklore capable of transforming between seal and human by shedding or donning their seal skin. Oh, so they just have a pile of skin somewhere.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Excuse
me. Freezer's seen that.
Now I know what to dress up as for our next listener.
He stumbled upon the pile of skin. Yeah. That's what he
did. I think he did. He's like, why did no one clean this up? Selene, there's a pile of seal skin in the salon. Please clean that up right away.
She says, I don't know what you're saying.
Going forward, when we clean up our seal skin, we always fold it afterwards. Always. So yes, he's seen seal skin and he's haunted. And now he has to, with a vision of seal skin in his mind, he has to put on some sort of carnival on the dock that all the dock workers are going to come to and dance at.
Dance around poor people.
And these people live there. I mean, these people know what a good carnival party is. They're like, I don't want to go to the dock. I don't want to go to Aunt Maureen's dock to go to the carnival.
No. Who wants that?
No.
For a bunch of Americans on a boat? No, rude thank you. Americans, I want to go to my own carnival. Yeah. Yeah. For Dawn? Yeah, Dawn the Cackler?
I'll remember Dawn for the rest of my days.
Good
you
Lord.
You couldn't bring me anywhere for Dawn. I'd throw her overboard.
How many bars in Arizona has she terrorized? You know that, like, you go to a bar in Phoenix and Dawn is there. Be like, hey, shots, get this person a shot. They're in my bar. I don't even know if she's from Phoenix.
Like, a Walgreens. Yeah. she's banned.
She's banned from a lot of places. She's banned from even, my heart.
Yeah.
Even the Selkies don't want her. They're like, we don't want you in seal form either.
Yeah, they're
You're too cursed. No. We're cursed than we are.
We're cursed enough, Dawn. We don't need adding Dawn into our mix. They're like, you know what? Actually, we decide we're just gonna stay as seals. she ends Selkies once and for all.
That's how we got like, seals.
Dawn. Yeah.
Dawn came around. They're like, "Hey, you guys want to be humans right now? I got some schlitz that we can party with." Like, sorry, we're seals now. We don't.
You want to be humans right now?
She goes to the edge of the water. Hey, seals, you want to party?
They're like, absolutely not, Dawn.
Like, never again, Dawn.
You're banned from this ledge.
Never again. They're like, we see there's some orcas over there. We're gonna go see if we can hang out with them instead.
Maybe Dawn should go hang out with them.
Honestly,
Dawn would be an orca. You know, Dawn would be like those guys in Dune, the Fremen who can ride the sandworms. She'd be doing that with orcas. You like feed her to an orca, and she winds up riding it. You're like, God damn it, Dawn! Somehow she survives. Orca rider.
Orca rider.
Oh God!
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
So So Fraser's got to figure this all out. And then meanwhile, Carrie is reminding Fraser to get a checklist together because that's important. And then Rambo is checking in on Anthony, and he's going to be making like a little Provençal tart, a little sort of like small pizzas. And I was like, you are trying way too hard for these people.
Yeah.
You just put some store-bought like focaccia dough in the oven, put some shredded mozz on there, and then serve it to them, because they are not going to even appreciate this Provençal miniature tart. Yeah, right?
Just give them a bologna and cheese sandwich and call it a day.
That's really all they deserve.
That's the energy.
Yeah.
That's all they deserve.
That's it.
I mean, I wouldn't be mad at a bologna and cheese sandwich.
I actually love the bologna and cheese sandwich. As soon as I said it, I was like, I kind of love that.
I keep running into this. Elena has been bringing up bologna and cheese a lot for some reason. And other people are like, yeah, that sounds great. That sounds disgusting to me.
You're like, wait a second, I'm not going to cut some.
Bologna, cheese, and mustard.
Oh, get out of here.
That sounds actually quite good. I haven't had bologna in years.
Me neither.
I used to love it as a kid.
I miss it.
What is bologna?
I don't want to know.
What isn't it?
Exactly.
Yeah, see, that's my problem.
I don't need to know anything about it.
No. If I don't know
it's
about it.
A little bit of everything.
Yeah.
It's a little, you've got, I think it's got some, maybe there's some beef, some pork, maybe some seal, you know, in honor of our sealies.
Selkies. Yeah. No. You guys can have those. I'll have those.
I'll tell you
the tarts.
It's about 85% salt. That's what bologna is.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's all sodium.
Yeah.
Feel it after.
So Anthony is telling us that tonight's like the VIP party, and he's like, well, I want to show my talent and I want them to feel, of course, a unique experience. But, you know, I killed myself last season. So, but from what I learned in yachting, save your time. So I think it's better to keep it simple for lunch and be focused for a unique tasting dinner. So he's finally learned how to budget his time, which is great. He it only took him a season and a half. So good for you, Anthony.
Well done.
Very happy for him.
You know, the vengeance that's carrying him this season.
He really does have a lot of vengeance. And I don't know, I mentioned this on the podcast before, but do you know why? I have a theory on why he has vengeance.
Why
do you know
that?
What my theory is? Mm-mm. It's because of Ronnie Karam. I think Ronnie Karam caused this plot line. And here's why. Last season on Below Deck, when the edit was that Anthony got in over his head, he couldn't do it anymore. He was also plagued with some grief over his father, and he started off strong, but he just couldn't keep up. And then he bombed out. And but Ronnie had this theory that I co-signed with, but I'm just give credit to Ronnie, because he's the first one who really picked up on this. His whole theory was that Fraser kept on undermining Anthony. And so, like, even though Anthony was not great, like, Fraser was the one who kept on, like, making his life harder and unraveling him. And so that was, like, what Ronnie was always saying. And the show was not presenting it that way, in terms of the show was not presenting an edit, like, look at what Fraser's doing. It's just Ronnie was, like, reading between the lines. He's like, if you look closely, you know, Fraser was unraveling him. Well, here's the thing. At the top of this season, Anthony says, when he comes on board, he says, Barbie called me and was telling me about how, like, Fraser was, you know, undermining me. And the thing is that Barbie last season was always, like, liking our stuff on Instagram. So I'm pretty sure she was listening. So my theory is Ronnie hatched a theory on Watch What Crappens. Barbie heard it. Barbie told Anthony. And now Anthony has come on to the new season of Below Deck all pissed because he heard Ronnie's theory through Barbie. And he was like, wait a second, that's right. So I want to congratulate Ronnie, because I think this is all because of Ronnie.
Ronnie broke the fourth wall of podcasting.
Yeah.
Ronnie, he full on, like, he basically got in there. He's like Monica. He's like Reality Von Teese infiltrating Salt Lake City right now.
Holy shit.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Isn't that amazing?
The narrative here.
He really did. And I love that Barbie got a hand in it. Of course she did. That'll work weird.
I don't know if it's true, but I have to believe it's true, and I'm gonna lean into it. You know
that just in my brain now.
That works for me.
Yeah,
he's a powerful man. Like, there's nothing that Ronnie can't do. Right?
Nothing. I agree.
He's I'm so proud of him for doing this.
And with Barbie by his side, the two of them could get it all done.
They could fix what's going on in our country right now. Ronnie,
I believe it.
They just got to get together.
Ronnie could. Ronnie would literally like get a, well, Ronnie would go to wash to be like, you know what are you guys doing? You know what, this, I've had enough of this. Okay. I worked in a bowling alley growing up and this is bullshit.
This is bullshit.
He would just go in there and he would point his finger at everyone and he'd get shit done. And then Barbie would do something too.
Yeah.
Barbie would be effective. She would in her own way.
Yeah. She would do her thing.
Moral support.
Precisely. So, meanwhile, we see Barbara. So this season we have Barbara, not Barbie. But Barbara is talking with Fraser and he's freaking out because he's not getting anything from the event planner. So then Fraser goes up to Carrie and he's like, well, my event planner went quiet on me, but here's a picture of the stage. He's like, well, I thought the stage was going to be higher up, but I guess this would be okay. It's just a wood plank and some linens. That's fine. I guess we'll do all right with it. Like, I don't know what sort of stage they were thinking they were going to be getting, like a Coachella stage in 3 hours.
Yeah, when he said he thought it was going to be like lifted, I was like, did you? Yeah. Did you really think that? Because I didn't.
He had high hopes.
I'm not even there.
He had literal high hopes.
Yeah.
So then meanwhile, Rainbow and Selena are having another one of their scenes. Poor Rainbow. She's really trying to connect with the other women, but she can't.
Because
I know one thing. I don't know, Ash, if you saw it in the earlier episode or if you'd already tuned out by then, but Rainbow shared a story about growing up in Holland. Did you hear this? Yeah. Where she said that like when she and her sisters would fight all the time. So her dad brought them to an island in the middle of a lake and like said, you have an hour and you guys can like tear yourself to pieces. And then after that, like no more fighting.
That's extreme parenting.
What?
That's what they call extreme parenting. If it's your like, girls ever start fighting, you find a lake.
In Holland. Specifically in Holland. I think the Dutchness of it makes it sort of like elevates the stakes.
Yeah. I feel like Yolanda Foster might have done this as well.
I was about to say, this is what Anwar, Gigi, and Bella had to do.
Yeah, they get along so well now.
They figured it out.
If you want to have your almond for dinner, first you have to fight it out on island.
That's like, they just like create Thunderdome for these kids and are just like, all right, come out normal.
Seems like it did something. I don't know if it worked.
I think it gave her anxiety is what it did.
Yeah, high functioning anxiety.
Yeah. Three mortals enter. One mortal leaves. Don't hurt Gigi. She has the most promise. Yeah, but Rainbow, so she's like really struggling this season to connect with the other women. And you can see she's like trying. It's like she looked up on like the same AI that, you know, was talking to me about mattresses. It was like she asked Google, like, how do I relate to other women? And Google was like, that's a great question. Here's something you can do. You can hug a lot. Or you can ask nice questions, or you can smile, or maybe give a kiss on the cheek. So she's like been trying to do all these things in this like robotic way, like that doesn't really match the context of the moment. And now everyone's just weirded out by her. So actually people are more distant from her than ever before. So here she is again trying to connect and she's talking with Solane and she's like, so what's your least favorite dish to wash? Which is of course a question that like...
the most wild question.
Like who asks that? Of all
you're putting stuff in the dishwasher.
To be honest, that would throw me off as well. I'd be like, what?
It did throw stuff. So Leah was like, what? She was like, I understand nothing.
Can you repeat, please? She understood. She was just like, I don't want to answer the stupid question.
When she said, I understand nothing, she meant like, I understand nothing you're doing. I don't understand your approach.
It would have been weirder if she was like, forks, for sure. Like, boom, answer.
The sad part is I'm like, what a weird question. And yet I would love someone to ask me that because I love answering questions like that. What is your least favorite dish? What is your least favorite dish to wash?
Oh, do you guys have one? In my notes, yeah. I hate washing. I have slow feeders for my animals, the cats and the dog, and they're disgusting to wash because you have to get like in the crevices.
See, mine isn't a dish. Mine is a spoon.
Oh, because it flings the water back at you.
Always.
Yeah.
But I think a spoon count. I think in this case, like dishes is like holistically, yeah, like when you're cleaning, when you're doing dishes, like what are your least favorite? I think a spoon counts. Yeah. You also, by the way, Elena, you also don't have to be a monster and put your full force of water on the spoon. I mean, use some judgment, please.
I know, I can't help it though. I feel weird turning it down because then I feel like it's not clean enough.
No, you know what it's all about? I don't know what it is. You can really get into the semantics here. It's about the angle at which you hold it.
Yeah.
I've learned to like do it to the back of the thing.
Yeah.
It doesn't go right in my face, but if I'm doing it quick, boom.
Yeah.
Every time.
Mom life.
It is.
I you know what I don't like washing at all? Ooh, I'll tell you what I hate wash. I got two things now. They're all flooding in right now. I say this, by the way, as Dom is upstairs doing dishes, I can literally hear him doing dishes.
I wish Rainbow was here. Really, on a deeper level.
I'm like, she is so weird. Now let's spend 10 minutes talking, answering her question. But I do not like washing a wire rack. Like have to like cook something on, you know, in like a pan and you put a wire rack. Because first of all, stuff is usually stuck onto it really badly. But also it's like the sponge doesn't go over it nicely. And I'm talking about like a gridded one, not like just lines.
Yep.
And like the water, it's like you want to spray it. Like it just, you never quite get the right coverage. And I would say the same goes for like a mesh strainer is also very annoying to me.
That was going
to
be my next one.
That's awful to wash.
Really annoying. Salad spinner is oddly very annoying to wash because it's got like, again, lines. The lettuce really clings to it too. You think the lettuce would release right away, but that lettuce will stay in there as long as it can stay in. It's like clinging on for dear life.
It's like rainbow conversation.
Mm-hmm. The rainbow. I'll tell you the number one worst thing to clean. The number one, this is a little bit more niche. I have a silicone rolling mat. So if you want to like make like a pie dough or something like this, you put it down on the counter so that way it doesn't stick as much and it has like measuring things, whatever. And so you make your pie dough, but then when you have to clean it, it's this big floppy, big floppy flap of silicone.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's like Selkie skin.
Yeah.
That's it's actually what it was. It's 100% Selkie. It was found. Found on a beach. That is truly the worst thing to clean in the world. I don't know if you guys have experience with that, but it is. Mm-hmm. There's just no good and easy way to do it. It just flops around in the sink.
I think, you win.
Yeah.
It's the worst. You can't get any purchase on it. You're trying. It's like,
nope.
If anyone has any tips on how to clean those things, please let me know because I'm living in hell.
I'm in constant hell with this thing.
Ben is actually sweating right now.
See?
I am in hell.
Oh, asked you this. Asked all of the... She would be so happy with this conversation.
We could have connected so deeply.
Yeah.
I would have made her yachting experience much better because
you would have.
We all would have because we would have given her the respect that question deserved.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Salil just didn't have time for that.
No.
No time. She's like, "No, don't understand. I hate washing everything. Goodbye."
Like, why are you here?
I knew immediately when she said, "I understand nothing." I was like, this is not going to go how Rainbow would like it to.
No,
it's just not. She kept asking and kept reiterating. And I was like, I'm getting so uncomfortable.
I know.
Yeah, Rainbow, just stop trying to connect with her. At the point, it's your desperation is driving people away. Just do your job. Don't talk to other people. Like, talk to who you want to talk to. Don't try to, like, win people over because... It's too late. Just
head down.
Head down.
Kiss Damon.
Get into. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That seems to be building quietly is like a relationship with her and Damon. I don't know if that will happen. But oh my goodness, my phone's ringing. I bet this is my mom. It's not. I put everything on Do Not Disturb, and I cannot tell you the number of vibrations I've been dealing with on my watch and my phone during this entire podcast.
Everybody's notifying anyway. You know how they give you that option? I'm surprised our mom hasn't called. She always knows when we're podcasting.
She actually just did.
Stop it.
Did she?
Yeah. I literally felt the vibrations. It was right there.
My parents, because of course I have them whitelisted. They can get through Do Not Disturb. Mm-hmm. And it's like literally every time it's like that phone rings. It's like the lights go down in the theater and then that phone starts to ring. I'm like.
Every single time.
Yep.
They know. Okay. So. So now we have like Rainbow gives us some background, by the way. We get the Instagram wall comes flying up And she tells us, I'm trying to do better as a leader, and I would love to connect, but it's not working very well. So growing up, I was very much a troublemaker, and now that's why I take so much responsibility, which is when I'm involved in any conflict, because growing up, it was usually my fault. And that's why I keep trying to, like, never give up. But, like, it's just not the greatest feeling. She needs some rests. I'm sorry, that made no sense.
She really just said like a lot and connected words with like.
And when she said growing up, it was my fault. I was like, yeah, told you that. Like, I was like, oh,
yeah, she's hurting.
What? She's like went through the Scared Straight program or something, because she's like, yeah, I was always a troublemaker. I was always at fault. So now I'm just like, I don't know. I'm just trying to like never give up. I guess she's like afraid of it being her fault again. Like was there like a dead body that came into the mix here where she was like, never again. I can never go back to those ways. It's you, Ash.
Never again.
The ghost of her past.
I scared her straight.
So that was like a little insight into what makes Rainbow tick. And then now the boat is approaching approaching the dock. And this season, the boat every single time has to go through the world's tiniest little gap. They make this stupid ass bridge. I'm like mad at this bridge. Why do you build the world's smallest drawbridge in front of like Yacht Plaza? Like, there's so many yachts coming in and out of this thing, and you decide to make a bridge that like you have to like slide through.
They did. I'm horrified by this bridge. Yeah. I don't want to drive on it. I don't want to be near it. I don't want to look at it.
No,
I hate it.
I think they should take it down. Take it down. And they'll figure out some other way to get across that gap, because I think it's I don't think it's right.
Zip line. Channel.
Zip line.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Zip line across.
Or here's an idea. How about a drawbridge that spans the entire gap, not just the little corner of it that the boats have to go through? How about that?
That seems much better.
That makes sense.
That's what we call thinking right there.
That's what we call innovation.
Okay. Yeah. Big thinking. Not just thinking.
So really why I'm annoyed is because it means that every single episode we have to sit through them being like, are we gonna hit the dock? Are we gonna hit the bridge? Because they never hit it. But we have to sit through like 10 minutes of them getting the fenders out and calling numbers like 54 meters, 3 meters, 2 meters, there's a turtle, there's a dolphin. Oh, we're fine. Everything's okay.
Do you think they're gonna hit it at some point this season?
No, because if they were going to hit it, they would have shown it in the previews. That Bravo cannot help themselves.
That's true. That's very valid.
There was one season of Sailing Yacht where remember they hit the dock, and they used that footage so much. Like it was in every single promo. It was all the time. They just showed that dock crumbling over and over and over again. Like if Bravo can show like a crash, that they will. Catastrophe, they will do it.
Yes. No, that's a good point.
Yeah. They'll do the best that they can. So they make it in. It's fine. And now they're still concerned about setting up this concert. And so Carrie's like, well, I don't see any guest requests as being unreasonable. I just see it as layers of difficulty. I had this one guest who wanted the sunset on the left side of the boat and not the right side of the boat. So we spun the boat around. I'm like, that does not compare to building a concert. That's a false equivalency.
It's a little different.
That's like literally the most doable. That's a very doable request. Turning the boat around. That's like literally his job is to move the boat. Like that's easy. You move the boat around. This is a concert.
Yeah.
So I'll say this up there. You know, fuck man, this is tough. Am I right? So they're setting up and everything. Anthony's figuring out. Oh, Anthony and Fraser have a spat. This is a really tense moment. I don't know if you caught this when you guys were watching.
Oh, yes.
But yeah, Anthony was like, Fraser, we still planning to have dinner at 8? He's like, well, it could be between 7 and 8. All right, but I need to know what time. Well, between 7 and 8. All right, but I want to know what time I make a magic happen. There's a lot of shit to do. He's like, well, how about between 7:01 and 7:59. I need it a little bit more narrow than that. How about 7:30? He's like, fine. Well, we can do it at 8. He's like, but I want to do it at 7:30 now. But what about 8? I was like, oh my God.
It's like, you guys are just fighting to fight at this point.
Oh, they absolutely are. They hate each other.
Because I love that he said between 7 and 8. And he was like, no, I need to know. And then he was like, 7:30. And he was like, how about 8? It's like, 7:30 is between 7 and 8.
Yeah. They ended up at the same exact spot.
Yeah, I'm like, it all worked out. So Anthony is really, you know, he's spiraling because he's like, bro, you really need to chill out. This is what he tells us. He's like, so I've been doing this job for a really long time and I don't need babysitter. I also have some questions like why I got fired that way. I hear on podcasts that I was being undermined. I don't know. Someone from Texas was very angry at Fraser and I decided I am angry too.
Ronnie
Karam. Not sure. That is what I hear from Bobby. So Jess and Selene are flirting and making out and stuff. And Selene is telling us that she's definitely like way more attracted to men. But like, she's like, oh, no, testosterone is so raw, but we Scottish, I'm not closing door with him, but I really don't know. We all kiss you. Really don't care. Really don't care who Selene is attracted to it right now. I'm like, fold your sheets and wipe that surface.
Go find your favorite dish to wash.
Yeah. How about this? How about you find some preferences on what you like to wash?
Yeah.
How about you reveal that you have thoughts on these things?
Go because connect with Rainbow. If you're dead,
yeah. Connect with Rainbow. How about that?
She deserves it. She does.
She does. She's trying to connect with you. You should connect back with her instead of connecting with other people while you should be working. So there's a lot of time setting up for this concert. They continue to set up, plates are going out, performers are arriving. It is starting to look a bit more like a concert. And so then finally it's time. So Fraser radios the interior. They round up all the guests and they have to be at the Sky Lounge in 10 minutes and they get up there and they open up the VIP lounge to the deck and the concert is there. There's like 15 people there dancing. They try to make it look like it's like really big concert, but you can kind of see it's like 30 people, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I think that might be generous.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's cool. I mean, there are definitely people on stilts and there's like fire dancers and yeah. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of activity. Like it was a thing.
They pulled it off.
Mm-hmm.
But then I was like, so you guys are doing this whole big concert on the dock just so you can watch it from the yacht?
Yeah,
you're just gonna stay on the yacht.
About because I did not see them go.
Yeah, we're out there for like maybe 5 minutes. They were like, "Hey, okay, we're gonna go back on the yacht now."
Yeah, like they went to bed at 9:30.
What did they?
Yeah, I was shocked.
Yeah,
because I was looking at it, and I'm like, "Oh, the whole crew has to stay up until they go to sleep, huh?" And I was like, "I would struggle. Like, I'd be like, you guys got to go to sleep."
Yeah, sometimes they stay up until like 2 a.m.
Showed them going to sleep, and it said 9:30.
You don't strike me as the kind of people that go to sleep at 9:30.
I know. I was shocked.
Yeah. I think at some point they went down to the deck, but like onto the dock, but like they were primarily on the boat.
Yeah.
They're like, just set up something that we can see from the boat, which just felt weird. It felt unnecessary. There was something also there was something weird about like these like white Americans coming to the islands and being like, I'm going to stay on a boat. I'm going to look down. I will not actually go into it. I'm just going to look down and like perform your culture for us. I don't know. Like it was like, I got this, it like had this undertone.
Very American.
It was the like, just watching them experience the thing that they had orchestrated, like, was so weird.
Yeah, from their pedestal.
Yeah, it was just such a weird.
Yeah, there was something about it. Like, you know, I don't know why if they had gone into the, like, if they had actually, like, spent more time on the dock, it would have felt less like that. I don't know. I think there's just something about being on this big luxury boat.
Yeah.
And making everyone move all the stuff around to put on this performance for them to watch on this boat, looking down on them. It just sort of, like, the optics of it and the vibe of it just felt like, I was like, I don't know how I feel about this.
Yeah.
It was very charter guest.
At the very least, it was very charter guest. And to be fair, we did see them go down onto the dock. So that there was that too. But I was like, wait, but you're not planning to spend your time primarily on the dock.
No.
It's like
they went through all this trouble.
You just want something to look at from the boat. I don't know.
Yeah,
too much. Strange. Next time, it's called, you know what I do? Plug in your phone and press play on some music. That's what I say.
And then bring Rocky back in to dress up like a mermaid and jump in the water.
There you go.
I mean, speaking of mermaids, right?
Yeah. Mermaid, speaking of Selkies.
The original. Yeah. Speaking of Selkies. She's a Selkie that lost her way and became a mermaid. Probably rejected from the mermaid people.
Probably. Definitely.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
the party's happening. It's fun. And Fraser's really happy, you know. And so then the food is being served, like a shrimp cocktail and croque monsieur and a broccoli soup. I'm sorry, Anthony. Didn't you just have like a monologue about like, we are going to do a simple lunch that way dinner can be a masterpiece? And you're like serving shrimp cocktail and broccoli soup.
It looked really good, though.
It looked delicious, but like he's acting like he was going to make like a Peking duck or something. Yeah. You know, but like,
I thought it was going to be intense.
Yeah.
Yeah. So everyone's wasted. Fraser drops a glass, breaks a glass. He drops a glass. And then, of course, guess who's there to see it?
Our girl Dawn,
Pride of the Selkies. She's like,
she's horrible.
Pride of the Selkies.
She's like, you dropped that, Fraser. What the fuck, Fraser? I said, you made a mess, Fraser.
I felt so bad. I was like, Fraser, say something really mean to her.
Fraser, kill her.
Get her, Fraser. Sacrifice your job. Dawn was so awful that I couldn't tell if she was actually doing like tongue-in-cheek bossiness. And like, I sort of had this feeling like after every time we saw her bark at them, she laughed like, I'm just kidding. Let me help you up with that. But they just kept on cutting that part out just to make her look terrible. Like, because she was so bad, I couldn't imagine that she was that bad sincerely the entire time.
That's
nasty.
It's always weird when you see these people be so awful because you're like, you know, you're being filmed right now. Like, there's a camera in your face. So are you turning it on for the camera or are you worse when there's no cameras?
Probably worse.
Yeah. Well, it's always, you know... And the thing is this, please note that Dawn, as well as that little guy with the beard, who is a piece of shit as well, they were the bossiest and the loudest, and they were friends of the primaries. And like, you know, on Below Deck and the Below Deck greater world, it's always the friends of who get like the free ride who are always the most obnoxious. The primaries are usually not as obnoxious. They can be, but it's always the friends who are like, you know, they were the ones that gifted this, or even if they have to pay, there's something about being the friend of, they just like want to make a mark or something. And they're the worst on these shows.
Remember that one friend who wouldn't share a room with another girl, and the poor girl was like sleeping in the main living area. And then Captain Lee had to give up his bed for her to sleep there.
Oh my God.
That was like,
I 100% forgot that.
I don't think I will ever forget that as long as I live.
What the hell?
She was like, no, she's not sleeping in here. By the way, she's on this trip. Captain Lee was like, she's a cow. You can sleep in my room.
She's a cow.
I think he called her a cow or something awful.
I love it when the guests fight with each other. Like, I get so invested in their drama when they are bickering and they're like, Cindy, be quiet. You have to go to bed, Cindy. Go to bed right now, Cindy. And Cindy's like, you always do this. Ever since I see you, always done this. Go to bed, Cindy. You're drunk. I'm not drunk. You're drunk. I'm happy. You're the marriage that's crumbling. Because their shit always, it turns into like an Edward Albee play. And I'm like, I would like to watch that.
Hell
can we
yeah.
Watch more of that. Can we keep the cameras on this?
Yes. It looks like this season is going to be crazy, like the next episode or maybe the next couple
to be a drunk lady,
some lady off the boat.
Yeah, that's the thing I think about the beginning of the season is like, I was like, I want to see more of the guest drama and less of the romance.
And it looks like there will be more.
It does. Actually, after watching this episode and seeing what was to come, I was like, I think I might be signing back on to this season.
I know. No, the trailer was great. I mean, it's been like a perfectly fine season. I just don't really like the tweaks that they've made. And the past like 2 or 3 weeks, like this whole thing with Solane, it's deeply uninteresting to me. Maybe I'm like a curmudgeon, but I tune into these shows to see like the work dynamics, workplace dynamics. And it's like not, I don't really care who she's going to choose. Now, I know that her previous experience was that she was on like Love Island France. But
I forgot that.
Maybe she's like used to this sort of situation.
That's what she was called in for.
That makes sense. Yeah.
Did you guys watch Love Island, by the way?
I can't get into Love Island and I keep trying.
I have not tried, but I feel like I want to.
I want to so desperately. And I'll continue to try.
Talks about it.
Yes.
So I'm like, I feel like I'm missing out on something.
Same.
Wow. I really feel like Rainbow trying to connect with people.
What's your favorite Love Island to watch?
I understand.
What's your favorite Love Islander to watch? So anyway, Don is making Fraser's life hell. And he's like, they have no decorum, no class. And
he's not wrong.
They're like, and then they're just like yelling, like, Rainbow, get over here, Rainbow, you can't leave the room, Rainbow.
Yeah. One of them's like, you can't leave the room, Rainbow. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Punch that guy in the face.
And then one of them, I think it's Don, says, you don't make the rules, I make the rules. And I was like, yeah. No, that person was literally hired to run this ship. Like, they do, in fact, make the rules.
They do. They actually make the rules. Don, Don makes zero rules. I don't know who Don is. I don't know what her job is. I want to actually go back to the previous episode and like zoom in on the preference sheet because sometimes you can see what their jobs are. Mm-hmm. I know that they all run strip clubs, but I don't know if, I don't know, does she deal with the day by day? She's not a stripper herself, I don't think. I think she's just sort of like
running shit.
I think she comes by and she drops off the booze. She's like, oh, I got some booze for you. Yeah, have a great night. Have a great shift.
Or she's the mean lady in the back that like makes the lineup.
Yeah, maybe she's the DJ. She's like, all right, everyone, coming out next is Cinnamon. Get out there, Cinnamon. I make the rules. You're next.
You don't make the rules.
I believe it.
Then Rainbow is, she's stressed. You know she's stressed because she literally wears it all over her face. She's like, oh. I know. And she, like, her eyebrows go up and she, like, yeah. Her eyes get big and she's like, I don't know what to do. So she's asking where So-So is, which is Solane. And Solane is off talking to the deck team because, of course, she's flirting with them, etc., with basically Jess. And so Fraser is like, you know, I think it's like a mid-season situation where things have been going so good. So you feel like you can sit back and fucking do nothing. And Rainbow's like, yeah, it's like kind of demotivating for me. You know, like, I'm not about to cry, but I'm going to cry because I still don't know what her least favorite dish is to clean. I mean, I just, there's so many options. I could have helped her out with that. Colander? Could it be colander? Please tell me. So Rainbow is losing it because she's doing all the work. And So-So is off talking to the deck team and flirting with Jess and all that stuff. And then Demo weighs in and he's like, I'm starting to see that Jess and Selene are distracting each other, which ends up causing more work for us. And it's fine if, you know, you're welcome to be distracted by another attractive person at work, but everybody needs to do their part and you need to do your job because we're a team and we pick up everyone else's slack when someone else drops the line. So we're all going to fall over. It's not good. So they're basically all getting annoyed at Selene. So she's never going to get fired though because she's too good TV, right? Do you think she should be fired?
Yes. Okay. In a work sense, absolutely. Watching this show since, no.
Yeah, she literally has been totally incapable the entire season. She does like three things and she's like, that was a lot of work. Time for me to have a break now.
She says that at least three times an episode, it seems.
She does it like three times within like 15 minutes on this episode, I swear to God.
And later, so, was she actually drinking?
Yeah, she was drinking something. Maybe it was just apple juice. I don't know, but she was like, oh, time for a break for me. Because they gave her that edit where they show everyone working really hard. And then she's like drinking a beverage in the corner. Like, oh, time for work. Time for break. So Rambo's getting frustrated. She's like, you know, she just doesn't want to do it. It's like, I get it. You're tired, but I'm also tired. I'm more than happy to help the team any way possible. I'll even clean my least favorite dish, whatever that is. Someone can ask. I'll never tell. Just kidding. I would love to tell someone. You know, she's like, so Selene, I don't know if you realize this, but when I ask you what's your least favorite dish, it's more so that way you'll then ask me what's your least favorite dish, and then I can tell you because I have something planned, but you won't ask me, so I can't let it out, and I have all this anxiety built up inside me about pizza cutters.
Oh, pizza cutters are a bad one to clean.
Oh,
those aren't cookies, so bad. Because when you do it, it spins.
That's true, but what about ice cream? Fingers.
But then it's like, but then you have to move it to get behind where the wheel hits the handle.
That's true.
I usually sort of grab it. I sort of do like a swirly on it on top. I hold it carefully and just swirly. Yeah. I'll tell you what is bad is an old fashioned ice cream scoop or a cookie scoop.
Oh,
you've got
yes.
that metal thing that swings. So you have to get under that. And
you have to make sure you get under the little metal piece.
That's almost impossible.
Yeah. That's a hard one. See, Rainbow had a lot to say. I know it. She had a whole script planned.
We have this much, and there's going to be more that pops into our heads.
She thought she was going places.
Yeah.
She should have a podcast.
Like, we thought that was a strange question to ask, but I'm thinking now, and I'm like, Was that the ultimate conversation starter? Because like,
yeah,
when you really
think I want to talk about.
Listen,
I don't want to talk. I don't want to recap anymore.
Put that on your Hinge profile.
Ask that. Yeah.
Thinking. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was
just to start a podcast called Dishing It.
And then, oh, wow. That's smart.
I like that.
Give that to her. I just thought a sourdough starter container. Those are awful to clean.
I don't have one of those.
Wait, so. What are tell me, I don't have one. Is that like the why and why? Tell me what that looks like and why it's so awful.
Okay, so just like whatever you can keep it in whatever container you want to. Mine's a mason jar, but it gets so crusted on there that it's like impossible to get off. And you really shouldn't put it down your drain because they expand.
Wow.
Sourdough.
I did not know that. I thought
Alina's terrified of sourdough.
Because she'll be like, oh, I have to feed my starter. I'm like, what do you mean you have to feed it? Like,
she's hungry.
What? And then what you're going to make me bread with it? Like, I just can't.
But I like to call it selkie flesh.
Selkie flesh.
Feeding my selkie flesh. Sort of my seal.
Always like that.
And it, like, tells you when it's hungry, doesn't it?
Or, well, it doesn't say, like, hey, I'm hungry, but there are characteristics where I can tell.
I think it would be better.
What are the characteristics?
It gets, like, super, like... It gets bubbles on top that almost look like soap bubbles. That's when it's like super duper hungry.
Oh, and also when you open up the jar, it goes, feed me, Seymour.
I mean, it does. You know, it goes,
feed me, Seymour. Feed me all night long.
He's like, you know what? Later. I have to go talk to my favorite dish to wash this. Her least favorite.
Are you making, do you make a lot of sourdough or do you just have a starter there just for?
No, I do make a lot of sourdough.
She does. And it's really good.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. I demand some next time I come to Boston.
I will bring you some. I make really good sourdough discard chocolate chip muffins.
Oh, yeah.
I'll bring you those.
What's the discard part of it?
So the discard is just your like unfed, like, it's unfed starter.
See, this is the stuff I never ask because I don't.
But I thought you're. But I thought you're feeding your. Why would you not? I'm so confused that this. And I'm a baker, but I'm like. So you have. Wait a second.
It sounds. You have your starter.
How do you not feed part? Don't you feed all of your starter? Isn't it like just either like the starter is fed or the starter's not fed?
Well, so the starter is fed, and when it's like really eaten everything or like in the process of eating everything, it doubles
it
in size. Yeah, kind of, because it does sort of burp. It bubbles. And that's what okay. When you get the good bubbles, that's when you want to use it for like your sourdough bread. But then it goes back down once it's kind of like eaten everything. So then it's unfed, sort of. And that's the discard. And that's when you can either use that for a recipe or you can throw it like a discard recipe or you can throw it away. It's inactive starter.
So you want to use it. You want to use it when it is fed and it's big.
Right? When it's active, if you're making sourdough bread, because that's when your bread is going to start rising.
Okay, so you feed it, it gets bigger, and then when it's big, you use that to start your bread. But if you decide not to use it, it's going to go back down again, and then it can become
discard.
Which is, by the way, honestly, quite rude. Let's be like,
it's a horrible thing to say.
Like, I haven't fed you, therefore you're a discard. It's like, I've been waiting. Don't call me a discard. I'm sitting here in my jar waiting to be fed.
See, I use my discard. I don't discard my discard.
I really hope that we pull this entire sourdough clip and like put it on, make a video out of it. So that way you can give a sourdough tutorial while dressed like a dead bride.
Maybe I should. Then that will be my YouTube channel.
There you go.
Dead Bride Bakes. So anyway, the point is Rainbow is going through it as usual. So she's like, but Rainbow is also, she's a passive aggressive boss too. Cause she's like, oh my God, Solane, great work today. You know what? Why don't you go to bed? Oh, but first can you clean all the toilets? Thank you so much.
I kind of loved that when she did it. I was like, hell yeah, she said, Rainbow.
That's what you get for not telling me your least favorite dish to wash.
Yeah, next time, tell me your thoughts on food processor blades.
Maybe I'll help you with the toilets.
Yeah, honestly, it's like punishment. That's what you get. So, but of course, Solane like does nothing. She's like, no, I'm going to go to bed. So then Rainbow is up until 5 a.m. or so. Actually, just 2 a.m. still.
But then I'll be at 5 again.
Yeah, they're up because she goes to sleep at 2:30. Then it's 5:45 a.m. Anthony's waking up, and he's going to make some lobster Benedict. And, you know, everyone's getting ready for some morning service or whatever. And then Barbara goes up to Hugo and she's like, can I ask you something? And he's like, yeah, what's up? She's like, you're in an open relationship, right? He's like, yeah. Do you like someone here? I was like, what?
I was
this nosy questioning on Charter.
I was like, Barbara, do you like him? I thought you were a lesbian.
I felt like the producers were like, hey, Barbara, go ask Hugo about his open relationship since he's late to the show and we need to get him talking about his personal life.
Let him mention it again. Probably that.
Yeah. And then he's like, well, are you their pimp or madam? And she's like, I am a matchmaker. I was like, what are you talking about? What is this matchmaking without context? Because we didn't see anyone say that they like Hugo, right?
I think she did this on purpose, though, to make it seem like So-So liked Hugo. So then Hugo would flirt with So-So, and then she could flirt with Jess without having to worry about So-So. I think she kind of masterminded.
I kind of love that.
I do, too. I love
a plot. Barbara is, I think, I love Barbara, and I think it's like 90% her hair.
It absolutely is. Her hair is gorgeous.
Her hair is amazing, and her personal style when she's off the yacht is also great too. It's like, yeah, it's I'm like obsessed with Barbara. But I just had no idea what she was doing here. Like, I was very confused. She's like, I am matchmaker. She's like, so I have to speak with you because before I spread gossip. He's like, well, he's like, my team's got it covered, right? Because they're both still fighting for one, so I don't want to get mixed up in that. And she's like, yo, but you like Selene, right? And he's like yeah, she's pretty. She's like, okay, that's not the problem because we still have another one. I was like, what are you talking about, Barbara?
What's going on, Barbara?
I haven't seen enough scenes to support this conversation right now. It makes no sense to me. So then, of course, we get like Instagram wall of Hugo, and he's saying that he's in an open relationship. And he's like, I'd be lying if I didn't say that Selene was attractive, but I just see so many hands in this pot. I was like,
damn.
Talk about a dish that's difficult to clean, huh?
He said, it's not that it's a turn off, it really just shuts me off. And I was like, is that not a turn off?
That's
about as
it's a little different.
It's a shut off.
Worse, about
not a turn off, just a shut off. I guess he's saying, I'm still attracted to her, but I am not going to pursue it. I'm shutting off my pursuing. I'm not going to go down that path. But yeah, it's a strange turn of phrase that he used. Mm-hmm. So, he's saying he really wants to connect with people, and that's the most important factor. I was like, good luck on this cast.
Yeah. You may connect with
you
everyone.
You see how hard Rainbow's having it.
I'll tell you about it.
I know. If you want to connect with people, better. I hope you're not bringing your dish cleaning banter, because that's not going to work.
It's not the A game.
We work with us, the three of us.
Yeah, with us.
Off, you would pop off.
Oh, yeah. Gangbusters with us, but everybody else.
We will talk about it. We will talk about everything, but not with this crew.
Good luck.
Good luck. Good luck talking about soap. Scum. By the way, have you guys covered on your podcast any really good maritime murders?
We really haven't, actually.
I know, we've been wanting to do more of those, actually, because I love them when I hear them anywhere else.
We did one that was this really remote place in Alaska.
Yep.
And there was like a whole crew of people that got murdered on a boat, and it's still unsolved.
Yeah, that was a crazy one.
I think it was Craig, Alaska.
You might be right. Yeah.
Craig gone over Alaska.
Exactly.
Well, I can think of
that one.
But yeah, we haven't done a lot of maritime. We got to watch that Captain Lee show to get some ideas.
Yeah, we did the speaking of the Indianapolis.
That was a really good one.
Why was it so good?
Just fascinating. The survival stories in that one, and then the stories of like them surviving up to a point, and then how they like horrifically died, like shark attacks and shit. It was like,
oof.
That story threw
maritime
me.
Disasters. Yeah. Maritime disasters are real. Those are pretty wild. But I feel like there's also like a number of those stories of people who fall overboard you know, like there was like a, yeah, cruise ships. There was one, I remember like 2 or 3 years ago, there was like a gay couple that got drunk and they got into a fight. And then one guy like wound up falling overboard and he was clinging onto the side of the boat and people were filming him. And then he couldn't cling on any longer. And then he just, yeah, I looked at the video and it was really horrifying.
Oh, so, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And that's like my biggest fear. The ocean scares me so much.
It's too vast.
It's so scary.
It's so scary. It's
too vast.
I don't belong in there.
No. No one belongs there.
None of us
we
do.
Don't, that's not our natural habitat.
No.
Because you know what? Like, I just think, what would happen if I were left adrift at sea and I couldn't tell anyone what my least favorite dish was to clean? Like, anyone. Someone.
What would happen?
I thought of one that's really good. Someone save me. I have to let this out.
I need to tell you why.
That's how they find you. They're like, we have this weird sound. Someone yelling about dish strainers.
You become lore.
Garlic presses. They're so annoying.
No, I just don't. I'm an earth sign. I belong on land.
Yeah, I'm an air sign, so I guess I'll go to space.
I don't know what I am, but
what's your sign?
Sagittarius.
Oh, you're fire.
Oh, so you're yes, fire.
Volcano.
Wait,
yeah.
Does that mean I want to go to volcano? Like, what is that? Wait, by the way, Elena, yours is the only sign that actually makes sense. Like, I'm an earth sign, so I want to be on land, but the rest of us is like, I'm a fire sign, so I want to throw myself into a pit of fire. That's not true.
Does it mean you're fiery?
Yeah, it just means you're fiery.
Because John's an earth fire sign, too. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I think when people think of me, Ben Mandelker, they're like, look at that fiery guy.
Look at him as he
opens up his latest copy of an Ina Garten book.
Oh, I love
fiery
that,
personality.
Wait, do you know your rising sign?
I don't.
Not to turn this into an astrology
book, but no, I would love to hear it. How do I find out what my rising sign is?
Do you know what time you were born?
I think around 8:30 or something like that in the morning.
Okay, text me with that information later and I'll tell you your rising sign and your moon sign.
Okay, I would love to know.
Important. Your big three is very important.
I'm pretty sure my rising sign is sourdough, actually.
Sourdough, not discard.
Sad fed just a sourdough. Okay, so back to what's happening on this boat. So Carrie congratulates Fraser for doing a great job, and then Fraser's basically saying how the staff is kind of starting to slip a little bit, and he's like, every year I see it happen and I don't want to happen again, so I'm going to have a meeting with him where I'm very, very serious, but before I do that I'm going to gossip with him a whole bunch. Like, go for it, sir. Good luck. Fraser, they're like pulling into the dock. They're actually already at the dock, but they're like waiting for everyone to leave this boat because it's the next day. And while they're waiting, Fraser and Kyle are sitting on like a staircase, and inside they hear Dawn be like, ho, 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 ho. Like, that laugh is going to haunt me for the rest of my days.
It's chilling.
It is chilling. I woke up hearing it. And there was also like three seals at my door too. I was like, what is happening?
So weird. They said, take her. We will not be continuing on with this woman.
Yeah, no, she's terrible. She is just the worst. So then they're all like lining. Well, they haven't lined up yet, but everyone's sort of like gathering together, and Fraser's like, he's gossiping with Barbara. He's like, so guess what, Barbara, I just heard some gossip from Kyle while we were both listening to Don's awful, awful laugh. When we picked up the guests, So-So said, and Kyle had a kiss in the bathroom. And Barbara's like, okay. I don't think Barbara really cares that much. I know I don't care personally.
No.
I don't think that Fraser should be gossiping with his second or his third.
I was very unprofesh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like, I don't think it's like good to be gossiping about another stew to the other stew when you're the one causing in the position
in your own department.
Like, that's going to cause some issues.
But that's what he kind of does though, because he did it last season with Barbie. He would talk shit about Barbie to anyone who would listen.
That is absolutely correct. So Barbara tells us that she loves Jess and everything, but like she just is worried that Jess is going to get hurt because like she's definitely had that experience with like straight people that like you know, they come, they like to experiment with, like, you know, they like to like experiment with a girl. I should say straight women. They come experiment with a girl, then go back to guys. And I definitely feel like that's probably going to happen with Solane. What do you guys
100%.
Think?
100%. Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is definitely going to happen. So the guests say goodbye. They give their tip and everything. And they're, you know, they're nice enough. They're like, thanks for everything. It was great. So then Kyle goes over to Jess and has this like weird moment where he's like, so you got a minute, Jess? Can I have a quick word with you? Quick word. Okay, I don't know about you, but I'm terrified. I feel like I heard the sound of the Selkies all charge along. Those are my people, you know. Anyway, so you beat me with a punch with Solane, right? So I was a bit gutted, however. Like, she has been sneaking kisses with me throughout the past charter, so just want you to know that. I was like, what sort of posturing are you doing? Trying to intimidate Jess out of this love triangle or something like that? Like,
100%.
I don't know. I felt like it was... He was really sulking a lot all episode about this love triangle, too. Mm-hmm. Which,
well, I'm so
I don't know why that surprised... It sort of surprised me a little bit. I sort of thought he'd be like down for it, but he did not like it at all.
I feel whatsoever. Like he falls so hard though. Like even last time with Barbie, he was like all in.
Yeah. And so Jess is like, yeah, I mean, I guess I owe you an apology. I just, you know, like, you know, I should have spoken to you about it. I'm just having fun. I'm like, I don't think that she owes him an apology because I don't think he would apologize to her if it was the other way around at all.
No, in fact, I don't think so.
In fact, when Solane was showing that she was interested in Jess, he still was pursuing trying to get kisses from Solane, and he was unapologetic about that. So I say, Kyle, deal with it. So that was my moment of sassiness. Fire sign. Fire sign podcasting, everyone. Watch out.
So fiery.
So fiery. So then Fraser is talking to Solane, and he's like, so... did you kiss Scottish? And she's like, no, I really don't remember. It's like, stop being bitchy, you know? And she's like, oh, I was washing toilets. I don't know. I was confused. I panic. I don't know. Did I kiss him? I don't know. So they all sit down for the tip meeting. That's like the extent of you. That's what usually what her interactions are like. I don't know. I don't know. It's crazy. I don't know. I don't understand. So Carrie is like, all right, everybody. Quite a chatter. A lot of challenges involved. Incredibly amazing. Kind and friendly guests. Just kidding. They were the best guests I've ever met in my entire life. What more could you ask for? A little bit of respect because, you know, what I give what I get. There we go. The booby motion. Just a little special extra one there. You did great jobs. Everyone first charted with us. So good job, Hugo. You took a lot of pressure off my shoulders and you've done a great job. Everything was great. Great, 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 great times. But I'm starting to see some complacency now. Got a twist. Thought this would be a nice tip meeting. Guess what? I'm seeing complacency. Now is not the time to just flatline. Which is why you all are going to get 2 days off right now. So that way you can flatline off the boat. All right. Enjoy, everyone. So they get
off the boat. See you in 2 days.
What'd you say?
You can literally die off the boat.
Just as long as you're back in 2 days.
Flatline the fuck off this boat. Just get back to work. I don't care if you're dead. Come back as a ghost because this teak needs some wax and those sheets need folding. We need ghost maids around here. So they're excited because they're going to get 2 days off. They're going to also have a villa. So they're definitely trying to create something here. Like usually they have like 1 day off and they just get to leave the boat and go to like a club and they come back. But it's 2 days in a villa. So they're going to have kind of like a little bit of like a real world or summer house experience for an episode, which should be nice and chaotic. So Jess and Barbara are talking and Jess is like, so what kind of coffee do you drink in the morning? She's like, coffee? She's like, well, I have my specialty. Why? She's like, because I was going to bring you coffee this morning, but I didn't know what coffee to drink. I was like, so, you know, a lot of exciting things are happening on this boat right now.
Yeah. She's like, do you have a favorite mug to drink your coffee in?
Well, she was doing it in front of
So-so
there.
It was like a little bit of a flirty moment, right? They were like, was it she trying to sort of
make her jealous?
100%. Because she just heard from Kyle.
Yeah.
Everybody's messing with everybody. Oh, yeah.
Your theory is really sounding good that she's trying to have Hugo come in to steal away Solane so that way Jess is free to go with Barbara. It really makes sense
totally
now.
Think after, that's what it is.
After that coffee interaction, after talking about coffee, I was like, oh, it's clear. She's up to something maniacal. That was a maniacal coffee interaction.
It was.
It was out of control.
I think so. Somebody should get her.
So Fraser, now it's time for him to have a serious meeting. Everyone, it's time to have a serious Fraser meeting. Is everyone ready? Listen, I know we had good comments from our guests on departure, but I wasn't happy at all. I think we can do better. I think we become really comfortable. And to that effect, Barbara, could you sit up for me, please?
Oh my God. I was so angry. It bothered me so much that she was just laying down.
When I say that we become comfortable, I also mean you're literally too comfortable in this meeting. I need you to be somewhat...
Imagine laying down while your boss was telling you something.
Yeah. If your boss is like an angry face, then you have to be like, sit up straight.
Yeah, just come on. That's all.
Just engage a bit.
Yeah.
When I said comfortable, I didn't mean it literally, but now I actually do. Please sit up, Barbara. Okay, okay. Please take that blanket off. Stop snuggling on that stuffed animal. Okay, thank you so much.
I was shocked.
Yeah, that was a lot.
Listen, I know it's the middle of the season, and I know that we're tired, especially Rainbow. Look at her over there, trembling in the corner. She keeps asking me about plates, and I don't understand what her issue is. She asked me the other day if I've ever cleaned a potato ricer, and I said, why are you asking me these things? She's cracked.
She's cracked.
She's gonna be.
We've lost Rainbow, and what I'm trying to say is we need to save her. So please, everyone work harder, okay? Rainbow, how are you doing over there? She's like, wax on, wax off. I'm drowning. She just is like holding, she's like clutching a blender cup. She's like, I don't know how to clean this.
I hate cleaning these.
By the way, cleaning a blender is actually really, it's a joy. You know why? Because you put the soap in there in the water and you hit the blender.
Oh my God, and you just let it.
You let the blender do the work.
Yep.
Is that how you clean your blenders? I love doing that. I've never done that.
It's very
That's fun. How you do it.
That's actually so innovative. Mm-hmm.
So it's a two-step process. You put like soap and water in the blender, and you could do this with a food processor too, but you put soap and water in the blender and then you whir it up, you let it go for 30 seconds. But I also got from OXO one of those like long brushes. So there's usually some stuff that's tough. So you go in there with a brush afterwards, but then you're set. The blender is like a 2 second clean.
It does not have to be an
enemy to you anymore in the kitchen. You know?
Yeah, this couldn't have come at a better time because I'm making pesto tonight. Boom. Thanks for that.
Literally the best time ever. A pre-pesto cleaning plan. I'm so excited for you.
Couldn't ask for anything
It's a big
more.
Day for me.
Will you be serving it with sourdough bread? Please say yes.
Oh my God, I should.
You
I don't know if
should.
I have a loaf, but I'll try.
You better start feeding that sourdough starter. That's what I gotta say. You better feed it now.
Can't leave it to the discard.
Don't. Okay, so then Selene is cleaning and she's doing a terrible job as usual. And she's like not very detail oriented. She's just like, whatever, let me just do what I have to do to get it done. And Rainbow's like, she's like, you know, you gotta care about this a little bit more. She goes, do you know what breaks my heart when you say things like they don't care? She's like, well, they don't care. The guests don't care. She's like, no, but I genuinely care because it's your own work product. Why don't you care about your own work product? She's like, I don't have time. You know, your heart is stronger. You know, otherwise, like, don't do this too much. You're not going to pass 30 years. You're going to die because you care too much.
which is fact.
When she said you're going to die before 30, I was like, whoa.
It was weird, but it was true. Rainbow needs to, like, breathe
and
a little more.
It was the most apathetic read, too. She was like, I don't care.
One thing about Jaleel is she does not care.
I do not care.
She does not care and she does not understand.
Like, why are you working harder? Because I don't care.
Selene then explains to us her whole life motto. She's like, you know, I love risk and adrenaline. You know, when you know you feel like when you're one of your little children, they say that and you do something bad, for example, and your parents told you, Selene, stop eating all the chips. And they told me no. And I'm like, yes, yes, no, I eat all the chips in my room. A lot of packets of chips everywhere, chips, chips everywhere. Like, yes, the adrenaline rush of eating chips when you're not supposed to in your bedroom.
It all relates.
So I love the adrenaline. What happened with her and the chips? What, like...
There's something deeper there.
She tells the chip story as if this was a universal thing that happened to all of us. Like, you know, like when you like have like a bunch of bags of chips in your bedroom one night and you're not supposed to. And I was like...
You just eat them all.
I mean, I definitely had like, you know, I snuck a cookie here and there as a kid.
That's normal.
But like when she's like, "When do you have bags? Yeah, they're everywhere. Bags of chips. Oh, I live for the adrenaline."
I was like, "Have I lived? Because I have not had that experience.
Not if you've not had that many chips. No."
Today we're all going to the supermarket, grab just one or two, maybe like six bags of chips.
Yeah.
And don't tell anyone and bring them into your room and see what happens.
Here, there.
Even if you live alone. Just even if you live alone, call someone. And then when they ask you, like, "Hey, what are you up to?" Be like, "Nothing. I'm just in my bedroom doing bedroom things." Don't tell them about the chips and just feel the rush.
Not eating chips. That's for sure.
Society is about to have a pivotal shift.
Do not eat the chips. So, she loves that. And meanwhile, Kyle is flirting with Solane, and he's like, "Oh, so live your life. You're the one making the decision. You know, you're the one. You're making your own bed. You're making your own bed." And she's like, Why is my bed in this conversation?"
And he's just like, "Never mind."
Like, whatever.
He's like, because he's like flirting with her. Also, there's really no world where Selena is going to make a bed voluntarily in a situation.
No.
When he says like, yeah, cause he's like trying to make her feel bad for being in a triangle. And he's like, "You made your own bed." And she's like, "I will never make my own bed ever, no matter what context.
I've never made any bed. Don't plan to."
She's like, "Did he see the chips?" The chips I've been hiding in my bed. Speaking of making beds, Fraser now is complaining that there are still sheets on the in the bed in the primary. And so Selena's like, "Oh, well, Rainbow was in there. She put it all in a bag." And Fraser's like, "Rainbow, the sheets from the guests, were they on the bed?" And she's like, "Yeah. So why weren't they all done and taken to the main salon? Why not?" And she's like, "Well, I just have a lot of work." And they're basically like, Rainbow said she was going to take the sheets down, but she didn't take the sheets down. Look at Rainbow slacking, which is so obnoxious.
Yeah.
That Selene would throw Rainbow under the bus when Rainbow is picking up all the slack for her.
Mm-hmm.
That was real mean. Which,
it was a bitch move.
Bitch move. So, of course, Rainbow starts like, of course, losing it. She's like, "Oh my God, I'm like giving like 100%. And like, why is it like not good enough? Is there something wrong with me? Like, what the fuck am I doing? Like, let me know when I can do better." And she's like, "Not now, guys. I can't have you guys watching me make this bed right now." She like closes the door behind her.
It's a lot. She's like, she has a lot of feelings.
She does. She has so many feelings.
And that was so shitty of them.
I know. They all need to go to that island in Holland.
Yeah, and find it out.
She's like, "Are we anywhere near there?"
My final answer is going to be cast iron grill pan. My least favorite dish to clean, everyone. Cast iron grill pan.
In case anybody cares.
But you don't.
But you don't. Never
ask. She just yells that up at the boat on the last day. They're like, "What?"
"It was cast iron skillet. Cast iron skillet, if anyone ever cared, but you did."
They're like, "What did she say?"
"See you never." Serrated knife. What about that? I don't like it. You wouldn't know. You wouldn't know. You never asked. So that's actually how the episode ends, is her like having a meltdown while she makes a bed and slams the door in our face. And which is kind of funny, because then they're like, still to come this season. Like, it's like this was like an epic cliffhanger. Like, is Rainbow going to be able to make that bed? Like,
who knows?
Can she write the ship right now? Can she do it? Like, this is such a big cliffhanger. We have to show the rest of the season the trailer. This is so big. But that was it. That was the end of the episode. How'd you guys feel about the episode? You really loved it.
You know, it wasn't the greatest Below Deck of all time, but I will say the trailer made me, the mid-season trailer, I was like, all right, I'm coming back.
That's how I felt.
Trailer was great, because trailer, we see that there's that lady who's so drunk that it looks like they have to medevac her out of there. And then there's... Yeah, and then there's also intrigue about whether or not Kyle sleeps with the guest.
Yeah,
so fun.
Which, what do we think? Yeah.
He looked 100%. He looked very guilty.
Yeah, the way he's pulling his pants up when he gets out of the ocean, I said, oh.
The way he looks at the camera, he's like, "Yeah, I fucked her." Like, he doesn't care.
No, could not give a shit.
He's gonna fuck whatever he wants to fuck.
Yeah.
I just want to say thank you again so much for coming on to this Below Deck episode. Remind everyone where they can follow you on social media and how they can listen to your podcast.
God, well, thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us. This was awesome.
This was so much fun. We're always around. If one of you is not.
Yeah. And I don't know anything about our social media. So
I think our Instagram is at a morbid podcast or potentially at morbid podcast. Try both. See where, see where it lands you.
See what happens.
Okay. See what happens. You can find them at number one Selkie fan. So
yeah, definitely, definitely there. You can find us washing our least favorite dishes.
And moaning and groaning about it while your sourdough watches is like, hurry up, lady, I need to be fed.
Precisely.
Put down that colander. Put down that honey dripper. No, but I need to get every crevice. Thank you again so much. If listeners are interested in true crime and you have, and for some reason you are not already listening to Morbid, which is crazy because I'm like not even joking. You guys are like one of the biggest podcasts in the entire world.
Oh my God, thank
it's crazy. How is how do you guys have the biggest podcast? it's crazy. Hell, I turned to Shambador. I've never seen such a big podcast. Wow. Archie. Go check out Morbid. It's an awesome podcast. And thank you again so much for coming on. Love you both. And hopefully I'll see you again soon. Bye everyone.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
It's always a party on Allison Block.
Our way is the Amber Way.
It's the Foster and the Furious. It's Amanda Foster.
She can run my country. It's Angie McGovern.
It's Always Automatic with Ashley Otto. Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Get on the right foot with Chrissy Offutt.
She's not just a Sheila. She's a Daniela. Etchels.
We never miss her call. It's Diane Call.
Erin McNicholas. She don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
You'll never hide from Heidi Eleanor Jones.
I go, you go, we all go for Hugo.
Jamie. She has no less namey.
She's our kind of mess. It's Jennifer Messer.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Get a bee in your bonnet with Lacey B.
K sirrah sirrah, whatever will be, will Lauren Silsby.
Bringing the funk, it's Leslie Plunkett.
She gets an A from us, it's Lindsay D.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Fresh as a daisy, it's Maisie McHenry.
We love her on the rocks, it's Melissa Cox.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
This is Living with Michelle Vivian.
I love a ya, Olivia Williamson.
Tastier than Flanderson, it's Rachel Manderson.
She sure is swell, it's Raquel.
Yes, we canna, it's Savannah.
Cast a spell with Shannon Spellman.
Let's share with Sharon Eldridge.
Darn Skippy, it's Tippy.
The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
She's VVIP, it's Amanda V. Can't lose when you're with Amy Baldwin.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Let's go into the woods with Guy Tubbs.
It's our queen, it's Queen Laifa.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall. Hail the cork master, the master of the cork, Jennifer Corcoran. We got our wish, it's Jen Plish.
She's not harsh, she's Jill Hirsch.
Knock, knock, knocking on Katie Manock's door.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo. We love him madly, it's Kyle Pod Shadley.
In the study with a candlestick, it's Leslie Peacock.
We're ride or die for Lisa Ryder Barron.
She's a whiz, it's Liz Sarthy.
Always killing it, it's Lola Alkalani.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
She eases our woes, it's Melissa St. Rose.
There's a chance of meatballs, it's Rebecca Cloud.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
We cannot tell a lie, it's Sarah Telefson.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Please don't stop, it's Soli and Pop.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
It's always a good time when you're wasting time with Bravo.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kutar. We love you guys.
If you like Watch What Crappens, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at Wondery.com/survey.